welcome back to This Week, and it is the This Week annual leader series where we spend time with each of the party leaders. And today we are speaking to the president of Sinn Féin, Mary Lou MacDonald. Welcome to the programme and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Carol, and many happy returns to you and all of your listeners, and good afternoon.
First of all, can I bring you to that news today in the Sunday Independent that the report of the Commission of Investigation into Mother and Baby Homes has found that 9,000 children died in the 18 institutions looked at. That was one in seven children did not survive. The Taoiseach is quoted as saying that he found it a shocking and difficult read. But is it right that any details have been leaked before families have had a chance to read that report?
No, Carol, it absolutely is not. This report, this commission report is 5 years in the making. This process for survivors, for families, for advocates has been really, really difficult. And I have no doubt when we see the report, it will make again for a very, very difficult reading. But just remember, those whose lives were marked and marred by this experience know the full extent of the horror that they and their families were through. And I think, therefore, it is not just grossly insensitive. It is, in fact, unacceptable that any part of this report has been leaked in advance of families and survivors having access to the report. To be honest with you, Carol, I had a worry even before the leak that so little advance notice would be given to victims and survivors and their advocates to study what will be a very, very comprehensive report. But this situation today certainly makes that worse. And I would hope that the Minister, having acknowledged that this leak is absolutely unacceptable, will commit to establishing just how this happened, because the concern will be for lots of people that there's a little bit of media handling even in advance of, well,
should
the report
they get the report
coming into
as soon as possible then?
Absolutely. I would have thought that it would be far better for victims, survivors, for people affected to have access to the report for a couple of days in advance of the rest of us in the general public having access to it. Because bear in mind, some of this goes back, you know, to 1922, but lots of it goes back to as recent as 1990. Which is not the dim and dark and distant past. And these are hurts that are still carried by people who are very much with us in the here and now. And can I also say this? I think the talk of an apology, an acknowledgement is absolutely central and long overdue and necessary. But let's just be clear, the apology and then forms of redress need to be acted on. And that has to include access to files, to documents, to birth certificates, the recognition of the rights of adopted people, and then real delivery in terms of health support, social support, financial recognition and supports for the many, many thousands of people who came through the most brutalising and brutal of experiences.
And is access to documents something that Sinn Féin supported when attempts were made before to allow people access to information on their biological mothers?
Yes, absolutely. I think it is essentially in the previous conversation you had, Carol, there was reference to the most recent public controversy when there was any suggestion around drawing a veil of secrecy over records and putting obstacles in the way of people from accessing their records. There was a huge public outcry. But I think people should know that that has been the experience of people. The experience has been that the state system to this day is still very, very reluctant and sometimes puts obstacles, very clear obstacles, in the way of people having access to their own files, up to and including their own birth certificates. And that needs to stop, and that needs to be part, okay, I suppose, of the sea change and the step change that we see by way of response. So an apology is essential, but that has to mark the beginning of a new way of managing this situation with the survivors, the victims, the families, the women, their children, front and centre every single time.
Now let's move on to the other big story of the day, which is the COVID. And I was listening to GPs in Mayo last night, really tracing the hundreds of calls that they're now getting every day to the Christmas gatherings. They say the numbers shot up starting on St. Stephen's Day. Why didn't Sinn Féin oppose the big decision to allow people go to restaurants and house gatherings over Christmas?
Well, I think having come through and still living through what are very, very difficult times, we recognise that, I suppose, this Christmas time, above and beyond any other, people needed access to the comfort of their families. We were always very, very clear that that had to be discharged in a responsible way. And I have to tell you, I think for the very greatest part, that has been the case. I think people still remain very responsive to the public health messages around keeping themselves and their loved ones safe.
So you don't think it was compliance was the problem?
Well, clearly contact has been the problem. And there is a suggestion also that new variants, we hear about a variant from Britain and one from South Africa, have also proved difficult. I will say this much. We had been very clear from the get-go that the controls and protections in respect of travel onto the island have been, and by the way, remain absolutely inadequate. I mean, nobody should be coming to our shores without a negative test. It shouldn't be limited just to Britain and to South Africa. There should be a second mandatory test for people when they arrive here, and people should only be coming for essential purposes. And we need a proper system of quarantine and self-isolation. Now, at the moment, it's very much voluntary. It's very ad hoc.
Right.
It's insufficient,
and it leaves
us in huge danger at a time where we have record levels of transmission. The very last thing we want is to be importing any more of the virus, any variant or strand of it.
Now, students are back online tomorrow. Many are going to be grappling with broadband. Should this summer's junior and leaving cert go ahead in their traditional manner, as the Taoiseach is planning?
Well, I have two students back in my own home who are preparing to go online and to resume their studies. And I'm very conscious, like every teacher, every student, every parent, that the best scenario is to have our children, all of them, back in education. But the facts are that it's just not safe at the moment. The right decision was finally landed on in respect of leaving cert students.
But yet NEFA did say last week that schools remain safe. I wonder, did that rush to overturn the back to school plan, did it do a huge disservice really to our students and to those with special needs who would have been back in their classes tomorrow?
No, the disservice was done by government, Carol. I mean, the headline message for all of us is stay at home, minimise your contacts. When the government attempted to make an exception to that rule for leaving cert students, they needed to have very specific guidance in the here and now as to the safety of leaving cert students and their teachers and their wider families. They didn't seek that specific advice. They didn't have it. They didn't confer
now, they say
or
they
collaborate.
Did. They said they did have some consultations,
sorry,
but that wide consultations,
Cara,
would have delayed the process,
Cara,
by a week or two.
Well, Cara, can we just be clear? They did not have specific advice in respect of the leaving cert students. They did not have the kind of consultation that was necessary,
right.
And the evidence of that is that those students aren't back at school.
So should the exam go ahead, do you think?
I think if at all possible, the exams should go ahead in the normal way. But what we need now, and what we have always needed in respect of the leaving cert, and crucially, children and students and young people with special and additional needs, you need to have a plan. All of us want our children to have the services and supports that they need. But there's no point in stating that as a political objective if you haven't got your homework done, if you haven't done the work of collaboration, of talking to the stakeholders, of having very specific and detailed public health advice, and then deploying the resources and the plan necessary to get people back. That's what's needed now. So I very much hope that the government has changed its approach. Its approach has been sloppy. Its approach has been inexplicable to me, I have to tell you, in many respects. So I hope they are now having that consultation, making those comprehensive plans, because there is absolutely no doubt in respect of children and young people with special and additional needs. There is no doubt that the supports they they need are very, very great. And I know professionals in the field are so frustrated and distressed for families and parents and carers who are now under immense pressure. So we need the plan. There's no point in making highfalutin statements of what you'd like to do.
Well, you make it sound like they're all sitting at home maybe watching Netflix while everything is collapsing around them. I think they are probably working as hard as they can on it.
Can I tell you, Carol, if I were in government, if I were leading government, and if there was such a lamentable, repeated lack of consultation with stakeholders, I have to tell you, I would have very, very serious questions to ask of those ministers at a time when we are asking people to make the most extraordinary changes and sacrifices, when people's lives have been turned upside down. The least we can expect is a government that has its own house in order. And I'm sad to report that that is not the case
now. Well, let's turn to politics now. And I'm aware that when we're talking about elections here, Sinn Féin's next election will be the Assembly in 2022. Yes. What are the chances of winning enough to take the First Minister position there?
I think there's every chance. Certainly we will be preparing. We're in the course of preparing for that election. Not unlike here in the South, in the North, much of our time and our attention has been on the public health emergency that we're all living through. I think that the executive and the assembly, and we mark now a year of the re-establishment of the institutions of government. I think they have performed reasonably well in very, very difficult circumstances, but it hasn't been perfect, far from it. There are still very big challenges ahead for our society.
Yeah. And we've talked about the all-island approach, and you know, despite the fact that both sides of the border have been suffering greatly from this, we haven't really seen any of that cooperation that you would expect.
Yeah, and that's one of the big disappointments.
From all sides.
Yeah, that's one of the big disappointments for us. Certainly, we have a memorandum of understanding between the respective health systems, but we have never had the necessary enthusiasm or drive from the government in Dublin or the kind of the open embrace from some colleagues in Belfast to make that happen. And that is a real shame, because it's made the job of keeping people safe so much more difficult. I mean, you don't have to be a public health expert to understand that we live on an island. It's a small landmass. We're a relatively small population base. And the smart way to deal with this public health emergency is to do it on an all-island basis. So we have pressed for that approach with colleagues in the executive. Unfortunately, many of our unionist colleagues look to London and look in that direction. And some perhaps have confused our desire to deal with this public health emergency and mixed it up with constitutional politics.
Okay,
this isn't about politics. It's about keeping people healthy and safe. So that would be one of the disappointments. It's an issue that I will raise at a meeting that we have tomorrow.
Can I bring
between
you,
the five parties?
Can I just bring you on to politics
governments.
Here, Mary MacDonald? Sorry
certainly.
To cut across you there.
Yep.
Obviously, if this government here runs its course, there might not be an election for another 4 years. Some Fianna Fáil members have raised the issue of whether Micheál Martin should lead Fianna Fáil into the next election. You were in Fianna Fáil. Do you think it would be easier for you to form a government with Sinn Féin, with Fianna Fáil under a different leader?
Well, look, whoever leads Fianna Fáil is a matter for themselves. What we wish to do is to lead a new government. A government ideally without Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, a government that actually has the capacity
but
and
Micheál
the commitment
Martin has
to
been
deliver.
Very against coalescing with Sinn Féin, whereas maybe some others there aren't. What do you
listen,
think?
Listen, Cara, we went through the last election campaign with the absolute juvenile nonsense from Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar about a competition between them to see who could state most categorically that they wouldn't talk to Sinn Féin. I mean, I think that approach has been absolutely discredited. And can I also say that their ruse and their rationale at that time for keeping Sinn Féin out of government was to suggest that we couldn't deliver stable government. Well, so much for that. We've had months now of utter shambles and chaos. So when Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael cast an aspersion against me and my colleagues, a team that I am very proud to lead, we are prepared, we are ready, we are preparing for the election. We want to be in government. We want to deliver on housing, on health, on decent incomes. We want to have a government that gives our young people the chance to get their lives and their futures back on track.
And
what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have to say is a matter for themselves, but we won't be deterred. It's very obvious that the appetite for the politics of change is still so live and so real.
Indeed it
and
is.
We intend
and can
delivering
I ask you something that.
That
Fine Gael Minister Josepha Madigan said this week? She expressed worry about, quote, seeing young people in their droves voting for Sinn Féin. And she went on to say that there seemed to be a collective amnesia, either from their parents who have witnessed a lot of the atrocities, or simply for the young children that the part of history has been erased. She's clearly referring to the Provisional IRA's campaign of violence and killing, and that young people might not fully understand Sinn Féin's background. How do you respond to her concerns? If
young people understand fully the politics and the history of their country, and they know, all about the troubles and the conflict and the suffering that was endured. I suspect they also know about partition, the establishment of a one-party state.
Well, could I ask
the
you,
discrimination
could a young Sinn Féin member,
endured.
Mary Lou MacDonald, could a young Sinn Féin member support Sinn Féin's current economic policies and be attracted to the party for that reason, but speak out against the Provisional IRA's bombing and killing campaign? Or would that be something that would have a common member appearing at their door?
Absolutely not. And people come to Sinn Féin for a wide range of issues because we're the party of Irish unity.
So people can speak their minds on the past.
People, listen, Cara, can I tell you, not alone can people in Sinn Féin speak their mind, try stopping them speak their mind. I can assure you, as the leader of the party, I do not lead a party of sheep. I lead a party of highly motivated, articulate,
but if they're
skilled
against that past,
individuals.
Is the point
no,
I was making
well, people,
there.
People are entitled to have their view and their analysis on the past. And by the way, there's nobody cheerleading for conflict and war. War is ugly. War is brutalising. War and the conflict on our island cost lives, cost people their futures, broke up families, broke up communities. It was horrific. And my job as the leader of Sinn Féin and Irish republicanism is to reiterate that we are never going back to that place. The only way now is forward towards reconciliation and a new Ireland. And by the way, planning for that new Ireland needs to start
now. Are you speaking with unionists or even the Alliance Party to get conversations going on that? Because I think part of the problem is that none of us actually know what that new Ireland is going to look like. What a 32-county. Where would the government be? These are all questions that people are going to need to know well in advance and can't know unless both sides sit down and talk to each other.
Absolutely.
All sides.
Yeah, no, well, on that point, I absolutely agree with you. And we've actually made that point repeatedly ourselves. I mean, this isn't a time for anyone to bury their head in the sands. This is a time for maximum conversations.
Right. What about Micheál Martin's shared Ireland dialogue? There's been some dialogues recently arising out of that. And I just quote you, there was one quote from a unionist young person who said, "I'm a unionist and I'm British. Why would I want to be talking about a United Ireland?" Isn't there a big hurdle that has to be got over there before we can start saying we're going to have a United Ireland within 10 years?
I think, and this is where the conversations need to happen, because you see, you can have this conversation without prejudice to your own position. So for me as an Irish Republican, I see no contradiction in driving forward for Irish reunification, but at the same time being part and parcel of the peace arrangements, the assembly, the executive, all of that apparatus that we have on the island, not at all. And in fact, the reality is now, I think increasingly for people of all persuasions and none, they look to the here and now, they look to the Brexit reality, the COVID reality, they ask the questions that we all ask about our own futures, our kids' futures, the future of our grandchildren, and they say, what's Ireland going to look like in 10 years or 20 years? And grasping the opportunity, I think, is important. This debate around reunification shouldn't be posited in the language of threat or danger. This is a massive opportunity. And actually, Carol, the area, speaking to unionists, to nationalist Republicans, to ordinary people, if you like, on the ground, the thing that is raised most often with me is the future of the health service. And I think the opportunity to build an Irish national health service island-wide is absolutely within our grasp, and all the more necessary when we survey the COVID scene of the here in now. So I think the government needs to get to work. There's people in beyond Sinn Féin arguing correctly for a citizens' assembly or a forum. I don't mind what it's called, but it needs to move beyond the very valuable dialogues of the Shared Island Unit into real concrete planning.
And we'll have to leave it there. Marilyn MacDonald, so President of Sinn Féin, thank you very much for talking to us today.